It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Tomorrow, see you then.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Kudlow. I'm Larry Kudlow. Well, President Biden spoke with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu and essentially showed no support for an unconditional Israel victory against the Hamas thugs. This is a most unfortunate development. We have one of the senior Israeli cabinet members, Economy Minister Nir Barkat, in just a few moments. We're also going to take a look at Donald Trump's significant lead in the swing states, especially among young people. And the great Claudia Tenney will be weighing in on life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, plus Art Laffer and David Bonson on the economy and why stocks are crashing again today. The Dow at this point is down 540 points. What is going on there? But first, a couple of thoughts from me on the Israel story. President Biden called Prime Minister Netanyahu today. And frankly, from the readout we received, you'd never know that Israel is America's greatest ally. And exactly which side of the Hamas war is Mr. Biden on? An incredibly bad call. Mr. Biden emphasized over and over the humanitarian situation and lectured Netanyahu about the need for specific, concrete, and measurable steps to address civilian harm, humanitarian suffering, the safety of aid workers. At this point, I'd say, well, what about the safety of Israel? What about the fact that Hamas and its grand master, Iran, want to destroy Israel? And for that matter, America, too. Israel is literally fighting an existential war for its very existence. And then Biden goes on to say, and I'm quoting here directly, U.S. policy with respect to Gaza will be determined by his assessment of Israel's immediate action on these steps. Period. Close quote. This is like a schoolmarm lecturing a little kid. To put it mildly, it's incredibly disrespectful to the state of Israel and its longtime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Of course, Biden, along with Jewish Senator Chuck Schumer, have already interfered with Israel politics, calling for new elections and regime change. That by itself was incredibly disrespectful to our close power. And now Biden is essentially ordering Israel to negotiate with Hamas, ordering Israel to negotiate. But Minister Barkat told me in our interview, how do you negotiate with somebody who wants to kill you? Now, have we forgotten last October 7th that Hamas horrifically slaughtered 1,200 people, including Israelis, Americans, and Europeans, one of the worst massacres in history? Have we forgotten the fundamental evil of Hamas? Chopping off heads, killing the elderly, raping children? Have we forgotten this? Has Joe Biden forgotten this? Now, one reality overlooked by the White House is that Israel has overseen food deliveries to Gaza that are running about 80% above pre-war levels. Another thing is that reports of civilian casualties or deaths are being inflated by the Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry and are completely wrong. And Israel has taken unbelievably careful actions to avoid civilian casualties. And haven't we learned that what should be done here is the complete annihilation of Hamas and the de-Hamasification? In the Civil War, remember, one of my heroes, General U.S. Grant, insisted on unconditional surrender. In World War II, FDR insisted on unconditional surrender and the complete denazification of Germany. This is what the Biden White House should be calling for right now. Let Israel be Israel. They must finish the job in South Gaza and Rafah. It is Hamas. It is Hamas who should be wiped off the face of the earth. That's my view. All right. Now, we will talk to the minister who's become a senior guy He's the economy minister, but he's become a key advisor. He was very critical of Qatar. He was very critical of this phone call between Biden and Netanyahu. And I will also say, off the record but on the record, if there is a new election sometime in the next year, our minister will probably run for prime minister. But we will see. I want you to stick around, folks, for this great interview. But first up, an important conversation with our own Peter Doocy, live at the White House. Peter, I know you're covering this phone call with Netanyahu and some other things. Thank you for helping us. What can you tell us?
Larry, the call is about a half an hour. The readout from the White House side is not anything President Biden is doing on camera. It was a paper statement about what they're calling, quote, Israel's unacceptable actions. And that's the kind of thing, the fact that it's going on paper that has Obama alum, including the former top speechwriter Jon Favreau, flagging this on X. He says the president doesn't get credit for being privately enraged when he still refuses to use leverage to stop the IDF from killing and starving innocent people. These stories only make him look weak. And there are about 180,000 more anonymous letter writers appealing to the president now, with notes by the box dropped off at the White House gates. White House officials are not ready to announce a firm policy change, but the things they're saying today are different than October 7th when President Biden said his Israel support was, quote, unwavering.
How is his support unwavering, but you're also reconsidering policy choices?
Both can be true.
They cannot be true. They're completely different things.
No. I'm sorry. He is wavering. No, come on.
How is he not wavering?
Come on now. But both things are true. Our support is ironclad and consistent. It's not gonna stop. It's not gonna waver. But will there perhaps be some policy changes we might have to make if we don't see policy changes out of Israel?
If Israel does not present concrete steps to alleviate suffering in Gaza in the coming hours or days, and it sounds like there will be a change in President Biden's position and some of the U.S. aid that's going to help their war against Hamas could be pulled back, Larry.
Peter, just as a question, you had a great dialogue with the security, White House security guy. When they say policy changes, if Israel doesn't do what what the Biden administration wants it to do, blah, blah, blah. If they don't follow their roadmap, does that mean that we will withhold, the United States will withhold money, withhold arms, withhold weapons, withhold ammunition? Is that sort of the implication here?
Yes, but that would be, it sounds like, narrowly tailored to their effort against Hamas. There are these ongoing threats that Israel faces from Iran and the U.S., it sounds like, from what we're hearing at the podium, would still be helping Israel protect itself from Iran. But it's this effort against Hamas, particularly as the Israelis insist they have to go into Rafah, where there's more than a million innocent civilians basically stuck because they've been trying to get away from the fighting. President Biden doesn't want to see that happen haphazardly. And nobody from the Israeli side, including guests here to the White House over the last couple of weeks, have presented a clear plan about how to protect those people. And so whatever gets withheld at this point, if that happens, because they're not satisfied with what they hear in coming hours and days, it would be specific to the Israel war against Hamas.
All right, got it. Peter Doocy, thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Take care. All right, folks. Now, a little while ago, I spoke to one of the leading members of the Israeli cabinet. Take a listen, please. Joining me now to talk about the whole Israel situation, we have Mr. Nir Barkat, Israeli minister of the economy, industry, formerly the mayor of Jerusalem, former tech CEO, and former IDF paratrooper minister. Welcome back. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you very much for hosting me.
So Biden talked to Netanyahu today. We have the notes in the readout. It looks extremely disappointing to me with respect to Israel. One of the points that I'll make and let you comment on this, Mr. Biden said he made clear that U.S. policy with respect to Gaza will be determined by our assessment of Israel's immediate action on these steps. And then he talks about the need for the prime minister to empower his negotiators to conclude a deal without delay to bring the hostages home. I don't see anything in this that favors Israel or says the United States will continue to help Israel, particularly with weapons, munitions, and money. But what do you make of this? This is breaking news as we talk.
Our expectation from our best friend in the world, the United States of America, is to support us fighting the Nazis. The Nazis that are holding these girls captive underneath the tunnels that get raped every day. I spoke to the family of these victims. We expect the United States of America to understand that the biggest enemy we have is Iran and Qatar. They are funding terror all over the world. They have blood on their hands. They're evil. We expect to align interest against the Muslim Brotherhood that are threatening the world, not just Israel. The attack on October 7th was a brutal, intentional attack. Raping women, cutting, you know, they cut heads off of soldiers and played soccer with them. They put little babies in the oven. These are not angels. These are evil terrorists. There are jihadists that want to kill all Israelis, all Jews. And by the way, while we're the small Satan, the United States is the big Satan. We have a common enemy. And we anticipate and we expect to see alignment together against evil. Now, we don't need to be lectured about human lives and innocent lives. We will do everything we can to make sure that people that are not engaged, not involved, minimal damage. And we will do everything we can. We don't need to be put on the spot because we're on the same side. And we need America to be on our side, not to push us to the wrong direction. And after things like this, you know what happens with Hamas? They're happy. They toughen the negotiation stand. They give candy to everyone.
But they still would exist. I mean, what troubles me as I hear Biden and Blinken and all these people, Sullivan, you'd have some kind of negotiated deal with conditions.
With who do you negotiate? With somebody that wants to kill you?
It doesn't say that you're going to annihilate Hamas, which is what was the original war aim that we agreed to. I mean, you want de-Hamasification. It's like in Germany, denazification.
You don't leave a quarter of the Nazis. You finish the Nazis. They're Nazis. Nazi propaganda was found in houses in Gaza, translated to Arabic. These are evil people. They want to destroy us. Tell me, Larry, if you're a businessman, would you ever negotiate a deal with somebody that wants to take you out of business?
No.
They want to throw us from Israel. They want to throw us to the sea. That's their charter. That's what they did when they had an opportunity, when they surprised us, October 7th, committed those atrocities. And I anticipate and expect the Western world as one to unite against the evil, to unite against them.
So you want unconditional surrender, and you have to go through, right, southern Gaza to Rafah. You have to take that part of it out. Now, I understand that, but what I don't understand is the Biden position. He's not saying that unconditional surrender. He's not saying go and take Rafah and the whole south of Gaza. This I find very troubling.
Israel's united to finish the job. The huge majority of Israelis understand that we need to eliminate Hamas off the face of the earth. It's not only our challenge. You know, I was in the Emirates about a month ago. There was a World Trade Organization conference, and I spoke to many, many people. And when you speak to the people in that region, they understand that the evil alignment of Iran and Qatar, funding terror all over the world, you know how much blood there's on their hands? When they buy their way in America, they're buying their money with capital, which is blood capital, evil capital. They wanted to destroy. They're playing two hands. They're like a wolf in sheep's clothes.
You said that on another network.
Yes.
You are very skeptical about the role of Qatar.
No, they're an enemy. Their charter and goal, being part of the Muslim Brotherhood Alliance, their goal is to spread jihad and Sharia law all over the world. They're doing it in a soft way. And you know what we've learned on October 7, Larry? There's no more gray. It's black and white.
Of course.
You are either part of the alignment against the jihadists, or you're part of it. You can't play two hands. And I think that the world has to start waking up and recognize that Qatar is as big as an enemy as Iran. And by spreading their jihad strategy, an alliance with they invested in ISIS, they invest in Hamas, they invest in, and by the way, they're buying in all over the world to try and tilt public opinion against Israel and against the West.
Are these reasons why Israel took out this commander of the Quds forces, the Iranian commander of the Quds forces? And are you expecting Iran to retaliate for this?
We have war with Iran. They're using proxies.
Mm-hmm.
We have our eyes open. And we understand that the plans of... By the way, they took responsibility for the October 7 massacre. They took responsibility. And we see the footprints of Iran all over our region.
Yes.
So we understand that this is a strategic way for them to fight Israel. And by the way, again, we're the small Satan. Mm. The U.S. is the large Satan.
But the U.S. has not imposed the sanctions on Iran. They've allowed Iran right to sell oil to China, for example, and get foreign exchange reserves up to $60 or $70 billion. When Trump left office, they were broke and oil was 40. Now they got $50 or $60, $70 billion and oil's close to 100. And that gives them the resources to finance the Hamas, the Hezbollah. That's an incredible story. And I'm just saying,
Larry, that's the point. The point is,
we don't, people in the United States who are behind Israel are aghast. It's jaw dropping that the Biden administration has backed off from the absolute, I say absolute, defense of Israeli statehood, the existential effort to maintain statehood. Biden's backed off on that. I don't get it.
Larry, we need bipartisan support. And I think that October 7 actually opened up an opportunity for everyone to understand who the real enemy is.
And you have Chuck Schumer saying, you know, you've got to have new elections and things. What good? How does that? That doesn't help you, does it?
It helps Hamas.
Yeah, thank you.
The fact that Hamas thinks that there may be differences of opinions between our best friend, the United States of America, which we want to thank so much for the support that we do get.
Mm.
They give candy out. Because they think that they could outlast the war. Mm. The pressure put on Israel instead of on them is helping Hamas toughen the negotiation stand. You had Qatar laughing from the sides because they don't want a deal. They want Hamas to win. They're on their side. And we're all getting carried away instead of uniting together against evil. Mm. That's what we must do. We have no other choice. I want these girls... These girls and their families to come back home. And the only way to bring them home is to put pressure on Hamas. I did not hear one word demanding Hamas to surrender.
Right.
I expect people to say, Hamas, surrender. We will haunt you all over the world. Qatar, we're going to haunt you from now on. Mm. You have to choose sides. You can't play two sides.
I must ask before we leave, and we're honored to have you back.
My pleasure.
Will the prime minister, yourself in the cabinet, will you engage in these negotiations with Hamas that Mr. Biden apparently said today in his phone call with Netanyahu? Will you negotiate with Hamas?
We did negotiate through proxies to bring numerous people, women, not all of them, the first round. And we only were able to get a reasonable deal on the table because we pressured Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
And the pressure has to come not just from Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's very unfortunate that we had friendly fire and people killed. And by the way, people talk about the aid workers and we're really, it's a tragedy and we're really sorry. And we would do everything we can to express that, that feeling. And I want to remind everyone that also more than 30 Israeli soldiers were killed.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't do that on purpose. Mm-hmm. And three of the hostages that escaped Hamas were killed by our troops by accident.
Mm.
So that's not deliberate. And we're very sorry because they're innocent. They're good people that were killed. But who did kill deliberately is Hamas, October 7th.
Yes.
And they would do it again and again once they have the opportunity. They're the evil. We would do everything we can just to go after Hamas. And, you know, we want neighbors like the Emirates, like the Saudis, that change their education system. The Saudis years ago changed the education system from being negative and anti for peace and love. And so did the Saudis did that 2 weeks ago.
Mm.
We want to see the Palestinians next to us train their children to love, not to hate, not to kill Jews.
Right.
They're paying $1 million for a Palestinian that kills a Jew. $1 million.
All right.
We got to change that. When they change to be like the Emiratis and the Saudis, peace will come to our region. But we have to eliminate Hamas and propose new neighbors or new behavior of the Palestinians. That's the backing we expect and we want from the American administration.
Minister Barkat, you have many, many friends here
in the United States.
And we appreciate your time for coming.
Thank you, my friend.
I know you're very busy.
All right. That was something else. I'll tell you, something else. Anyway, next up, I'm going to talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of Zuckerbucks with the great Congresswoman Claudia Tenney. Please stay with Kudlow.
Hey, folks, it's your man, Keyshawn Johnson, here to talk about Angie, formerly known as Angie's List, your go-to home services marketplace for getting all your jobs done well. Now, you might be wondering, what exactly is Angie? Well, let me tell you, it's the nation's largest home services marketplace, connecting over 150 million homeowners with skilled professionals to tackle any project, big or small. As a homeowner myself, I always have things I want to work on for my house, whether it's general home renovations or fun projects like putting in a pool. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it a breeze to research, compare, and hire pros, ensuring every job is done well. Whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or planning a full kitchen renovation, Angie's got your back. And get this, folks. Angie's pros aren't just any old contractors. They're your neighbors, often running small businesses right in your community. Plus, they've been rated and reviewed by others in your area. So you know you're getting quality service. So why stress over home projects when you can turn to Angie? From finding the best price to scheduling a pro at your convenience, Angie's got you covered every step of the way. So get started today at Angie.com. That's Angie.com or download the app today to get started on getting all your jobs done. That's Angie, your trusted ally in home services.
All right, let's just... First of all, we have the great Claudia Tenney here. That's number one. I don't want to let that go. What was the award? You got the Israel Heritage
Foundation Award.
Foundation Award last night?
Yes.
For all right. So
my
you've
work
been
on Israel and Iran as well.
All right. So, Clay, I want to talk about other things, Zuckerbucks, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But you saw the interview with Minister Barkat. What did you think?
I thought it was a great interview, Larry, and I think you could tell in his voice, this is really urgent. We are bungling this. The Biden administration is a disaster. Under President Trump, we had the Abraham Accords, historic, maximum pressure campaign on Iran, which was working. And we've gone in the reverse direction, and now we're actually enabling and emboldening Hamas and our enemies there. That's exactly what this feckless, weak policy from the Biden administration is doing, and it's really dangerous. And the Middle East, while we were on our way to peace and prosperity, is now a powder keg.
Oh, you know, it's interesting. I don't know if the linkages are exact, but and as Biden has blundered through this, Biden and Schumer and Blinken and that whole crowd, as they blundered through this, the price of oil has jumped up markedly. Okay. But from $70 to $90 plus was up again today. I don't know what Brent crude was. I think it's up to 95. We're heading towards 100. I always use that as a measure of the potential for some kind of blow up in the Middle East. You usually see it in the oil markets. We haven't up to now. So this is unbelievable. All right. Let me come back home. I appreciate your comments.
Yeah,
let me come back home. Zuckerbucks, which had a big role in the 2020 election, unfortunately. Zuckerbucks ruled out in Wisconsin, right? What do you think of that? And you think that's going to move around the country? You think Zuckerbucks is out in New York?
No, but I love that Wisconsin, the voters in a statewide referendum voted to eliminate this private sector voting. That Zuckerbucks was all the money, $419 million put in by Mark Zuckerberg, focused on the swing states to prime the pump to make sure that Joe Biden was able to win. And this is so important. The 2020 election was decided by about 42,000 votes. Our entire election, the election that actually caused the ruin of the United States over the last 3.5 years, real disaster with all the policies, reversing the great Trump policies, whether it's economic, foreign affairs that we're just touching on. The great thing about this thing with Wisconsin, some states have already done it. Governor DeSantis did it in Florida. A number of states have passed this. The danger that we're facing now is, yes, this is important. It's Wisconsin. There was an executive order, and for all your nerds out there, it's 14019 that Biden put into play that incentivizes and causes all of our agencies. Those are all those giant agencies, all those under the executive branch, Health and Human Services, HUD, SBA, all of them are now tasked with a job of collecting ballots and getting their people taxpayer money, almost $1 billion. This is electioneering. It's illegal.
Wait, people who work in HHS?
HHS.
Can go out and count mail-in ballots and harvest them?
Well, we just had a
That's
rule.
That's unbelievable.
Guidance just came down. We had Javier Becerros, who was director on the Ways and Means Committee. And I just asked him at a committee meeting. I said, why are we incentivizing and telling people to go off their mission of serving the public? HHS servants, those people should be focused on their mission, not electioneering, not drop boxes. By the way, when you hear the word drop box, that's cheating for Democrats. Mm-hmm. They're cheating. And I just say this to people, when you have a drop box, if you were going to win the lottery, do you think that, say you won the $1 billion lottery that's out there, would you put your winning ticket in a drop box? Absolutely not. And we have to make voting great again, and we have to make it sacred.
Claudia, hang on. There's another federal thing. All right. So Biden has proposed an $8 billion climate corps. Okay. They're little climateers, I call them, climate corps. And they get a lot of benefits, including canceled student loans, which is unconstitutional from the Supreme Court. But. $8 billion, 50,000 people, okay? 50,000 little climateers, all right? I'm saying that will be harvesting. They will go out and harvest their little climateteer tuchuses.
Because they're going to be more federal bureaucrats that are going to be given the incentives / vote harvesters. Or vote
That's
traffickers,
it.
If you want to
That's
call them.
Not,
the whole
it.
Mission of this is to make sure that Joe Biden wins again, and they do anything and everything, whether it's the so-called lawfare, malicious prosecution happening to Trump everywhere, and now creating all of these bureaucrats to go out and actually engage in electioneering, which is not legal. That's why we have laws in place that say that experts need to be dealing with elections, not people who are tasked to deal with Health and Human Service issues, SBA.
This is aimed at Trump.
HUD, everything.
This is aimed at Trump.
It's aimed
That's
at
what
power,
it's
aimed. Winning for the Democrats, taking over
anything.
A country.
They'll do anything.
Abuse
anything.
Of power all the way.
Last one, 30 seconds. on this related subject, will illegal immigrants in the country, I don't know how many of them there are, 8 million, 10 million, 15 million, will they be able to vote?
How will we know? Because they're going to be assigned ballots, and those ballots are going to get in the box. While Republicans focus on policy, which we must, we're winning on policy. That's why you see Trump leading in 6 out of the 7 swing states. Mm-hmm. We need to be focused on process. We need to get those ballots in the box. Right. That's what we've got to do. We've got to focus on that. The Democrats are doing that using our taxpayer dollars. Through the bureaucrats at this new climate corps, through bureaucrats all over these massive federal agencies are going to be collecting ballots. And you watch, there's going to be a huge effort in the swing states where it matters and where this election will be decided.
That is the darnest truth. That's where they'll focus all that stuff. Claudia Tenney, I told you, the great Claudia Tenney. It's very simple. All right, folks, next up, I got a bad story. Stocks crashing again today. What's going on there? We have Art Laffer. We have David Bonson. We're going to weigh in on that. Plus Liz Peek and Joe Concha on Trump's new voter coalition, pushing him ahead in the swing states, as the great Claudia Tenney suggested just a moment ago. I'm Kudlow. We will be right back. Well, stocks absolutely crashed today, down 530 points. It got worse as the day wore on. Our expert, Jerry Willis, standing by with the whole story. Jerry, what can you tell us?
Well, Larry, it was a terrible day, the worst in a year. Stocks turning negative, crashing, and oil prices spiking. That followed a contentious call between President Joe Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The Dow closing down 530 points, the S&P 500 off 64, the Nasdaq off 228, all of this 1% and more. That was an 800-point swing intraday for the Dow. Biden calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and demanding Netanyahu take immediate steps to address civilian harm, humanitarian suffering, and the safety of workers, I quote the president. Meanwhile, reports that Iran was threatening a strike on Israel in the next 48 hours, possibly by drone, also unsettled traders and markets, raising concerns of an escalation of hostilities by Iran, which has previously relied on proxies to attack Israel. On those worries, West Texas Intermediate hitting the highest level since October 20th, settling at $86.50 a gallon. That's up 1.4%, while Brent moved through the psychologically important level of $90 a barrel, settling at $91.30. Meanwhile, Fed governors, they were all talking this afternoon, weighing in on the prospect for lower rates, most calling for a pause before rates are lowered so that the Fed can keep an eye on inflation. Tomorrow, of course, the all-important jobs report. We'll keep an eye on that.
Jerry, I think your linkage, between the stock market, oil, and the Middle East and the ceasefire, Biden, I think you're just brilliant. I think you're 100% right. Something's cooking there, and it ain't good. Anyway, we appreciate you always. Thank you. All right, folks, we're going to bring in our guests right away. We have David Bonson here. What's David Bonson's book? I'm just skipping through the text. Let's go right to it. David Bonson, managing partner of the Bonson Group, the author of Full Time Work and the Meaning of Life. What Arthur's book is Taxes Have Consequences. Is that right? I know it by heart now. Art Laffer.
You got it.
My dearest friend and the most brilliant Art Laffer, who should have had a Nobel Prize 30 years ago. David, you're here. Stock market going down. Jerry Willis made some very interesting connections. Mm-hmm. I don't know that this is about the economy. It may be about fears in the Middle East. What do you think?
Well, what's interesting is that bond yields came down and stock markets are down. And so we've had a total correlation with stocks and bonds, where bond yields have been going higher on the day stocks drop. Mm. Today was a little bit of the opposite. Oil was up, but not that much. Mm. I mean, it was, you're still around 86, 87, but it was up, and it's been up. It had been at 75. It's now over 85. I think that there is a permanent instability in the Middle East, but it's heightened. And I don't think markets know what to make of it. But I just want to remind people, markets went up the week after that horrific Hamas attack. So markets have never really known how to price Middle Eastern instability.
All right. Don't know how to price Middle Eastern instability. Art Laffer, story today, front page of The Wall Street Journal by Greg Ip, who's a good reporter. OK, we know Greg Ip many years. What's wrong with the economy? And he blames people. It's you, not the data. He's saying the problem here, Joe Biden should have much higher approval ratings because the economy is really very good. And the people out there who keep polling that the economy is not good, they're just dumb little bumblebees, and we shouldn't listen to them. Who's right and who's wrong here?
I think the article's wrong in saying it's the people that are at fault, not the economy. You know, when you look at it, prices are rising. They're not rising as fast as they were, but we're up something like 18-19% since Biden came into office. If you look at employment to population, the participation rate, that's at a very, very low level. Even though it may be rising a little bit now, it's really not doing well. This is a workerless economy, to be honest with you. And unemployment rate low, but the employment rate is also very low. Interest rates are high, 4.3%. But the one I like to look at most of all, Larry, that really shocks me is the gold price and the cryptocurrency, Bitcoin price. Mm. You know, the dollar is falling very, very sharply relative to gold. It's up to 2,300 plus, Larry. That's really very high. And if you look at crypto, of course, the crypto prices are at all-time highs, which tell you the dollar is at all-time lows. Now, we are strong relative to other currencies, but that just means that we're the tallest midget in the crowd, as they say.
And, right, it's interesting.
You know, it's just not a good economy, and I'm worried.
It's interesting on your price level indicators, which we all used to use in the days of Wayne Angel and Manley Johnson, and I still are quite useful.
Yes.
The CRB index is way up.
It's up, I don't know how much, 25% from last fall.
Exactly.
As well, along with the gold move. David Bahnsen, again, with the Greg Ipp article, and Greg Ipp's a smart guy. I'm not here to chase after him, but he's just saying, you know, the economy is really strong, and the people who keep polling in these surveys are actually incorrect. I would raise another point. Borrowing costs are very high. That's not in the CPI. It used to be in the CPI. Mortgage rates over 7%. If you buy a new car, I think you're going to have to pay about 8 or 9%. If you buy a used car, you're going to pay about 12%. And credit card rates can be 25% plus. I think that has something to do with the pessimism among people who are up to their eyeballs in debt. But what do you think?
Well, let me give the most objective answer I can that obviously is not meant to be partisan at all. The problem for people who expected this to happen last year, we'd have a big recession, is no one's paying those higher borrowing costs because no one's buying a new home. Volumes collapse. No one wants to sell, get rid of their lower mortgage. You know what the average rate is people are paying on their mortgage in America? It's still about 3%. It's a new mortgage is 7, but most people are paying 3. And a lot of companies didn't need to go to the bond market at expensive borrowing cost because they'd already borrowed back when rates were lower. I think the Fed knows all this stuff is coming. There's a cliff out there for borrowing costs. So far, they've gotten away with it, but there's an expiration date on that.
All right, expiration date. Arthur, Jay Powell's back in the news. Everyone's, you know, speculating about the Fed. But listen, I'll take Greg Ipp's article because I think the data, the GDP-related data, has been much stronger than many people expected, including me. I've said this several times. And the slowdown that Bahnsen talked about really never happened, okay? Prices are still rising. Labor markets are strong. In other words, I don't think, Art, there's any reason, any non-political reason, for the Fed to cut interest rates. And if they do, I think they will be accused of juicing the economy to promote Joe Biden's reelection, in which case all bloody hell's going to break out against the Fed. All right, what do you think about this situation? I just got a minute for you.
Yeah, well, I don't think you're right about the economy being strong. If you look at it from Trump trend, we're way below where we would have been had there been no pandemic. And, you know, if you look at some of the other things in employment, it's not great, Larry. But I do think you're completely correct on interest rates. Given their model of the world, there's no reason on earth why they would lower interest rates. 2% is way too high a target, honestly. Price of gold is way up, and the price of Bitcoin's way up. Inflation is not licked by any way, shape, or form. And you've got energy prices now rising, which will bleed into the spot commodity prices, will bleed into CPI and PPI. No, I think you're right. They shouldn't lower interest rates given what they believe about the economy.
All right. I got to leave it there. We're all backed up. Art Laffer, thank you very much. David Bahnsen, we appreciate it. All right, folks, we're going to have a super panel. We've got Joe Conchin. We've got Liz Peek. And if that weren't incredible enough, we've got Lee Zeldin, all right? And we're going to talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of Israel and the pursuit of swing state polls. I'm Kudlow. We will be right back. Please hang around with us. All right, we're hopping right to it. Joining us, Liz Peek, Fox News contributor, syndicated columnist Joe Concha, Fox News contributor and best-selling author, and Lee Zeldin, former New York congressman, chair of AFPI's Pathway to 2025, and Lee Zeldin, former, should have been the governor. Let's just play a very quick bite from my interview earlier in the show with Israeli economy minister Nir Barkat. Take a listen, please.
I did not hear one word demanding Hamas to surrender. Right. I expect people to say, Hamas, surrender. We will haunt you all over the world. Qatar, we're going to haunt you from now on. You have to choose sides. You can't play two sides.
I must. Boy, powerful stuff. Lee Zeldin, I know you've worked on this issue a lot as a House member and generally speaking. You know, we talked about the need for unconditional surrender. We talked about the need for de-Hamasification, like denazification. But, Minister, I don't hear any of that from Biden or Blinken. What is up with this?
Right after October 7th, we heard moral clarity coming from the administration, but they have surrendered what they knew to be the right response for what is a pollster, a consultant's advice of what needs to change in order to be able to compete in a place like Michigan. Mm. That was a great interview from earlier. Hopefully anyone who missed it will go back and watch the entire conversation, and you can feel the pain.
Yes, that's
coming from what is a leader of an allied nation, seeing the United States throwing Israel under the bus to win Michigan. Man, that should be disqualified.
To win a congressional district in Michigan. It's almost that bad and that small. By the way, he's going to be prime minister. He's got a very good chance of being prime minister when the elections come around. Liz, I want to change the subject because time is very short. Wall Street Journal poll, Trump leading in 6 out of 7 of the swing states, doing very well with African-Americans, doing very well with Latinos. But, Liz, doing very well with young people who flocked to Biden in 2020. I think that's a very interesting hook.
Yeah, and I think there are two things going on. One goes back to your conversation about Israel. Young people have been fed the lie, a lie, that Israel is the oppressor nation. And basically all over the country, they are believing that Hamas is the victim, that people in Gaza, look, people in Gaza are suffering, but guess what? They supported Hamas. So this is a huge issue for Joe Biden. So it isn't just one congressional district. It's young people. There's been a swing of 15 points, at least, in terms of young people supporting Trump. The other leg of that stool, though, without a doubt, and we've talked to people on your show about this, Larry, young people can't buy a car. They can't buy a home. They can't get started in the economic ladder in America.
Borrowing costs
are so much higher.
The breadbasket that you have every day has gone up so much, whatever it is, $1,200 for the year. I mean, you're right. There's a disenchantment. Joe Concha, the other side is, I was watching one of the shows, I think it was Hannity last night. Anyway, Mark Penn, very good pollster, top of the line. He's a Democrat pollster, but he's a very good pollster, and he's a smart fellow, and he's a friend. Now, Mark says, yes, Trump's got lead amongst, but the Democrats will come home as the election nears.
Really?
What do you think? That's what Mark said.
Mark is a smart guy. I know him quite well. However, I think conditions on the ground would have to change. In other words, inflation can't keep rising. Crime can't keep being on our television screens in terms of violent crime. We can't see the border wide open where our National Guard troops are overrun. Here's what I do know about the polling. In 2016, Hillary led wire to wire. Biden essentially led wire to wire. The fact that Trump is even up by the margins that we're seeing in North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Michigan, that is telling that he never led when he won in 2016, so maybe even undervaluing his support at this
point. So your question, see, I think you're asking the right question. What's going to change? And I don't know that much.
Okay, can I just interpose one thing?
Yeah, real fast.
All right, two swing states that I think are a problem, Nevada and Arizona. Why? Because they will come home. And why? There's abortion is on the ballot in those two states, two swing states, and they've got abortion to bring home young women, young people in general, et cetera. So I think that is something Republicans have to watch out for.
Lee Zeldin, I'd love to come to you, but I'm looking at the clock. It's 4:55. We'll have you back. We'll have all of you back. Love you all, Lee
Zeldin.
Sorry. No, Liz Peek, Joe Concha. I'm just Kudlow. I'll be back. I'll just say that President Biden's relationship with Israel now has become a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace. The policy should be so clear. Unconditional Hamas surrender. Hamas should be destroyed and annihilated.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.